Yeah, it's just a privilege to share this morning, and I'm just, honoured to share the Word of God. And really today we're creating an opportunity for us to partner with real children right now across the world. And so I'm going to read a key verse, and then I'd just love to pray and just welcome the Lord here. It says in 1 John 3:17 to 18, so this is the Apostle John preaching and sharing a letter to the church, and he said this in the New Living Translation: if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, I just want to press pause. And John is writing to Christians or believers or disciples. And so that's the context. He's writing to the church. And so John says to believers, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show that truth by our actions. Can you just join me praying? Father, we just thank you so much for your presence here today. We are so grateful, Lord, just for the incredible opportunity we have this morning together to partner with one of the greatest organizations, Lord, to help release children from poverty in Jesus' name. Lord, we firstly just want to say thank you for all you've done in our life, in our families. Lord, we recognize today just how blessed we are to live in this great nation, Lord, and the lives you've given us. But we do know that to him who has been given much, much is expected. And we just pray today, we all just open our hearts to allow you to speak and let your will be done. Help us to become more like you, Jesus. A man who loved selflessly, a man who was generous, even to the point of giving his own life. Jesus, that you were loving, generous, and you were so kind and compassionate. Help us become more like you. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, I personally grew up in a wonderful family. I'm so grateful to God. In fact, it's such a joy to have my mum here. Why don't you stand up, mum? How awesome, from the Sunny Coast location too. Love you, mum. But for as long as I remember, I just was blessed. I grew up in a family that was incredibly generous to other people. And I grew up in a family where my grandparents just lived an incredibly generous life. And so for me, from childhood on, I had great role models. And it was just the culture. It was who we were as a family. We're incredibly generous. I have memories of particularly my pa and nana always helping people, just always so generous to funding missionaries, to buying buildings for churches, to giving a house to their cleaner because she was, I believe, a single mom or struggling, and just such a generous couple. I remember being at his funeral and just amazed that there was just so many people there who were touched by their generosity in their life. I have memories of my mum and dad, and the coolest thing is this, they were the exact same and are the exact same as my grandparents. I remember my parents sneaking money, I don't think I was meant to know, into the letterbox of my friend at school who had a single mum of four kids struggling to put food on the table, just constantly shouting people food and coffee and helping people. Like, this was the environment I was blessed enough to grow up in, and my desire is I would become that and be that to my children too. But what I love particularly is I look back at my childhood, I remember on our fridge there was always a child's face. Just because of our church context, initially when I was really young, that was with World Vision. Our family, my mum and my dad and my brother and I, we sponsored children. But as we really joined C3 and got planted again, from the age of older children, childhood, there was always a compassion child on our fridge or two. And I remember it like it was yesterday. We were old enough where mum said, hey, today's the day, boys, where my brother and I we had two, and that day we were going to become a family of four sponsorship child. So we got to help, just as Ebony did, say, Lord, who's the one? And in a moment just like this, I remember for me, I started to sponsor a young man in Thailand, in our church's Thailand one, named Rain. And I remember seeing his face. You can put up that photo, please, team, because In case you don't have your glasses on, this little cutie, his name, his English translation is Rain. I loved Winnie the Pooh as a child, so he had Winnie the Pooh shirt on. And I remember it just like it was yesterday. I was about 15 or 16, and I started sponsoring Rain. And I guess for me, I was in the world of my first job, I was working at Kmart as a checkout chick, even though I'm a dude. I was the only guy out of like 10 girls on team, I don't know why. But anyway, I was a checkout chick. Then I was an Eagle Boys delivery driver. Best job ever when you first get your P's, right? I was just driving around listening to my Linkin Park and Blink 182. Not my Taylor Swift. I was a bit cooler than that. But anyway... Nah, I don't even think she was alive then. No offense intended, sorry. And for me, similar to Ebony, what $48 a month looked like for me as a young man, it was a big sacrifice. It was going without going out to dinner with my friends or not going to the movies with Ebony, or it was a sacrifice. But I remember for me, it was such a God thing in my life where I had grown up in that environment where my grandparents and my parents had lived that, and I wanted to be a generous person. I wanted to serve God that way. And for me, it's been one of the greatest privileges that I've now, doing the maths in my head, that's about 13 years I've been able to sponsor Rain. And I, as I said, I just remember falling in love with him. I remember just thinking of the joy of being able to help him and his family. For me, the pain of the sacrifice wasn't even a blink of the eye when I thought about what this money could do for this great young man. I have loved being able to help him and his family financially. I have loved being able to buy extra gifts. So every year, I've been able to buy him birthday gifts. I've been able to buy him Christmas gifts, and I've personally loved that joy. I've loved being able to write letters to him. And I just want to pause and say, if you're one of the wonderful families who do sponsor a child, can I just remind you, and Ebony has seen this firsthand, I know Dean mentioned it 2 years ago, and Tonya, people who are on the field say that we can't put into words how much our letters mean to these children. And what I love about Compassion is they've made it easy for us. I'm not a letter guy, but we can do it on the website now. And so for me, I can log on to Compassion, I can type out my letter to Rain, and I just love that. But just a friendly reminder, if we haven't done it in the last 6 months, let's all go home tonight, get our kids with us, and let's write our letter. But I've loved being able to encourage him and champion him. I've loved getting to know him and him getting to know me. I remember sending him a photo of our wedding day. So I got married, and I'm about to send him a photo of our son when he comes into the world. It's a special relationship. But church, what I want to share, what I love most is actually seeing that right now, this who was 2 years old is now 16, and he is in love with Jesus. He is planted in church. He knows the Bible. And he knows that there is a God in heaven who loves him. In fact, in his last letter to me, it was just a line, but he said, "I love going to church on the weekends to worship God at my youth group. Although I won't sponsor him forever, there will come a time where he hits the age where Compassion's done their incredible work and he'll go into the world and live a great life. But I am so glad that even though I won't sponsor him forever, that there have been seeds planted in his life that won't just affect him in this life, but also the life to come. That he's been raised in the, you know, around the house of God, around the Bible, and that he knows that Jesus loves him. And for me as a personal sponsor, that's the most meaningful thing. And that Jesus, through his grace, wrote a new story for his life, releasing him from poverty in his name. And as I shared earlier, I just want to remind us again, this is why I personally love Compassion. You have to remember, Ebony and I are talking about, for us, we weren't pastors, we weren't leaders, we were just teenagers in the house of God. I was an absolute mess personally, but I won't say Ebony was, but she wasn't. She's always been an angel. But for me, I've always been so moved by Compassion. And as I said earlier, I love that we're not just meeting their physical needs, but holistically their spiritual needs. We're not just planting financial seeds, but spiritual seeds. We're not just helping them in life, but the life to come. And I just want to lastly share this. I remember it like it was yesterday. As I said, I was about 16. I went home and I brought this home with joy in my heart. And I hadn't noticed, but I turned it around. And I actually think the team, you've got a photo of this. Sometimes you read a Bible verse that just, it's like the words enter your heart. And I will never forget the moment. I'd never heard this verse before. But as you can see on the back of my sponsor card from 12, 13 years ago, it said, I tell you the truth, Jesus is speaking. Whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me. Those words Jesus spoke have never left my heart personally. And my prayer is out of today, I want to unpack that scripture a little bit, that those words would never leave your heart. I was so deeply impacted that not only can I help a life and a family, but that when I do this, I am doing it for Jesus himself. Anything we do for the poor, for the marginalized, for the oppressed, we do for Jesus himself. And I have discovered that as we look through scripture, we will find this, friends, that it is so abundantly clear from Genesis to Revelation that God has a heart for the marginalized and those in poverty. And he asks us super clearly as well as believers that we would be his hands and feet and help the poor in his name. And my three thoughts are this today. We help, number one, because of Jesus, for Jesus, and with Jesus. So why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, are you ready? Turn to the other person, your second favorite, and say, I apologize for rejecting you. I do love you. So good. I've learned, I say it all the time, but husbands, go to your wife first. Always turn to your wife if she's next to you. Well, guys, my first thought here today, we help because of Jesus. How we treat people matters more than we think to God. The more I mature in my walk with Jesus, and I'm not just talking about people overseas, but I have come to discover in my life, as I grow closer to Jesus, as I learn more about Jesus, I have discovered in my life and in our life that how we treat people matters to God more than we think. As a believer, we are called to love what Jesus loves. We are called to get a heart for what Jesus has a heart for, to hear what he hears, to see what he sees. And as I shared, I have found the more I read the Word of God, the more I discover about God, it is abundantly clear that Jesus loves people. It is abundantly clear that Jesus has a special place in his heart for children. And it is abundantly clear to me that Jesus is an advocate for those in poverty and those who are oppressed. I actually want us to look at this verse in Deuteronomy 15, 10 to 11 in the Old Testament around Moses' time. And this was in the Old Testament. It says, give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. Just to pause, isn't it incredible? There's a promise attached. When you and I give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some in your land who are poor. That is why I'm commanding you to share freely with the poor and with other Israelites in need, which in that context was the other believers in need. And so we read here that from the beginning of God's people, he has asked us, he's shown us his heart, and he's asked us to respond. And I've also discovered in my journey, not only has he called us to love what he loves, he has called us to become like who he is. That is the journey of a believer. Our vision here at C3 Powers is to see lives transformed. What does that actually mean? It means you and I are being transformed from wherever we are today in our journey. We are becoming more and more like Jesus. And that is a journey we never graduate from until we reach heaven. And I love that we are all on a journey becoming more like him. And I love that Jesus is kind. We read through all the Bible, and when he was here in the New Testament, he was kind to people. Jesus is generous. As I said before, he gave his own life. What more generosity could we express than what we're going to celebrate at Easter? He gave his own life for us. Jesus is compassionate, hence compassion. But he was a man of compassion, the Bible says, and Jesus is loving. And so as we are transformed into his image, we become more and more like Jesus. And so that means you and I are called to become more loving, more generous, more kind, and more compassionate. We are all called to become more like this. And as disciples of Jesus, we should all be on a trajectory towards becoming more loving at all times. And so I feel, why are we going to have an opportunity to partner with God and to sponsor a child today? Well, it's because of Jesus. It's because of his heart and as an advocate for those who need help. And some of these statistics blew my mind. I was doing some research with Compassion and the team. And right now, there are over 3 billion people who live on less than $3.20 Australian a day. 3 billion people. Right now, there are 860 million people worldwide who live in slums. Every single day, around 16,000 children will die before their fifth birthday, mostly from preventable causes. 150 million children live on the street as of right now. And unfortunately, as Ebony shared, poverty is so dangerous and damaging. There are 168 million child laborers right now worldwide. And in Africa, 7 out of 10 trafficking victims are children. 691 people around the world live in extreme poverty. And what I thought about as I was preparing this message, I know it's a bit uncomfortable, but this is so important to talk about because I really felt for me, on behalf of, I just felt God's heart for these beautiful people. And I just was reflecting and I thought about that right now Jesus is crying with them in their tears. He's hearing their prayers right now. He's next to them in their pain. When no one else cares about these children, these beautiful children, when no one else sees them right now or knows them, I want to encourage us, Jesus does right now. God created every human being and he loves each of them so much. They are his children and he is actively working to release children from poverty in his name. And that's why he needs people like us, believers. That's why John was encouraging the church. Come on, church. If we're in a place where we can, God wants to use us as his hands and feet. He needs to work through his people to make a difference in these beautiful lives. Amen? So whenever we talk about helping the poor and those oppressed and those marginalized, we are talking about doing this because Jesus loves them and he's asked us to. Amen? My second thought is we do it for Jesus. Why don't you say for Jesus? I actually want to look at this passage of scripture that was on the back of my card. If you have your Bible, we're going to turn to Matthew 25. And it is Jesus speaking. And he's talking about the end of the age. He's giving a picture about eternity. And I'm just going to read from verse 31. I'm reading from the NIV. And it says this. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep. That's a good tongue twister. The shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, the sheep, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Isn't this exciting as believers what we've got to look forward to in eternity? Amen? But check this out. This is so powerful. He goes on to say, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was ill and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you? So you can hear the confusion, right? They're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? We never met you on earth. I don't remember seeing you and feeding you. They're just like, what's going on? And then we read this from verse 40. The king will reply, Jesus will say, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Such a powerful passage of scripture. And it goes on, I won't read it out, but unfortunately, so that's awesome, right? And I'm sure, like, put your hand up, I want to be on the right side of Jesus, right? But then unfortunately, we read on and he turns to the left and he says the exact same thing. But he said, I was hungry and you did not feed me. I needed help and you did not help me. And as the righteous did, they turned and said, Lord, what are you talking about? I never saw you hungry. If I did, of course I would have done something. And he says those exact same words. He said, whatever you did not do for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did not do for me. It's a powerful passage, but it's also incredibly encouraging. For me, this is such a deep motivation in my heart, not just when it comes to what we're talking about today, but for all of us to live a big life of loving people. Because every single time you and I love somebody, every single time you and I help somebody who needs help, every time you and I include somebody that our community is rejecting, every time you and I are kind to a stranger, we are not just doing it for the beautiful person that God created, but Jesus says, guys, it's as if you are doing it personally for me. And as I reflect on this, I would go, if I saw Jesus and he asked me to do anything, I would drop everything in my life to do it. But every day I walk past people who need help. And hey, if you're like me, sometimes, unfortunately, I make the wrong choice. Sometimes I'm too busy doing what I'm meant to do to help that person. Sometimes I'm too grumpy and tired and I miss that opportunity on the plane to talk to that person next to me when all I want to do is watch SpongeBob SquarePants on my noise-canceling headphones. I walk past that person in Melbourne City struggling. Or in moments like this, I just let them pass by even though God's talking to my heart. And as I said, I don't want us to see that as a negative. I know it can be a bit heavy, but it's also what an honor it is that you and I can love people. And as we are loving people, we are loving our Lord and Savior personally himself. And one day we will see him face to face, friends, and he will say to you, thank you. Thank you for loving me through loving those I love. And I really felt a burden on my heart, I know it sounds weird, but from God, to say thank you to anyone who is sponsoring right now. I really just felt the voice of the Holy Spirit, like it's not me, I just felt God wanted to say thank you. Thank you for loving that child on my behalf. Thank you for going without $48 a month, for going without 5 coffees a month so that that child can be loved and helped. I want to encourage us here today, friends. How we treat people matters to God more than we think. It says in Proverbs 14:31, if we read this together, the book of wisdom, that those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but helping the poor honors him. How we treat those who are in poverty is either honoring our God or it's insulting him. And I know that us as a church, we're a kind of people. And I'm not saying we all have to sponsor someone today. That's not what I'm saying. But we are big-hearted people who are generous. We are like Christ. We love those that the world doesn't. And when God asks us to help, we're the first to go, yes, Lord, I will. We are big-spirited, generous, loving, kind people. And for me, this looks like every time over the last 16 years that $48 has come out of my account, I love just to stop and I go, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you. And it brings so much more joy than what that $48 could have given me, times 100,000. My last thought as I come to a close So we help people because of Jesus. We do it for him. And lastly, I want to encourage us, we do it with Jesus. What do I mean by that? I have found an amazing truth in my life and in our life that when we step out in faith and obey God to help and to do what he's called us to do, I have found that we don't do it in our own strength or ability, but we actually come into a supernatural partnership with Jesus. If he asks us to do it, he will make a way and provide for us to do it. And I've learned in my financial world, I love this analogy and it's so true. We have two options in this life. Has anyone here ever gone swimming in a lake? Give me a wave. Who's swum in a lake before? And what you'll probably remember about that lake is it's a bit gross. It's probably a bit dirty. It was a bit muddy. There was a bit of mold growing on the top. There was, you know, and what a lake is by definition, it's stale water, right? Ebony and I were just blessed enough. We went traveling and I remember swimming in this lake in Switzerland and all the photos, you're like, it's the bluest water on the earth, right? And so I was so excited to swim at this lake. I'd seen the photos. I'm like, yes, I'm so keen. I packed my swimmers, even though it was like 1 degree water because it came from the snow. And I jump in and it is some of the grossest water I've ever been in, right? Like I can't even see my hand in front of me. I'm picturing like, something's going to attack me. Like, do you know what I'm saying? It's just stale water. And then you go to these beautiful rivers. Now, I would use the analogy of the Yarra, but it's just brown. So let's just not use that one. But I remember when we were in Switzerland, that lake. And then the next day, we'd go visit a beautiful river. And oh my gosh, was that river clear. Crystal clear water that had melted from the snow caps, and it's just flowing, 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 flowing. It is the most beautiful water you could imagine on this earth. And I believe it's a great picture in our worlds around our finances. We have two choices, the Bible says. We can be generous or stingy. And there's kind of only two options when it comes to our finances. And this is the spirit we carry. It's the attitude we have. And I have found this. God has called us to be like a river. He wants to get money to us and he wants to bless others through us. And as we do that, it is a beautiful way of living. And the cool things about rivers is they never run dry. God always provides more water, people. Like it blows my mind. Every time I've been at a river, I'm just like, how? How has this not stopped for the last how many hundreds of years? Like what the heck? But it never runs dry. But if we choose to live stingy lives, which hey, we've all been there, we can all be tempted to this, but it's like our financial world becomes this lake. And it's like God can't get anything through us, so it just grows stale. And it's just not how God intended us as believers, I believe, to live. And so in Ebony and I's life, we've just made a decision. We are river people. We are blessed to be a blessing. God has called us to live a big spirited life of faith. That when he says to step out, we're going to step out. When he says to bless someone, we're going to bless someone. When we're sitting as teenagers in a room just like this and he says, hey, you're earning 14 bucks an hour, but I want you to sponsor. Like we've just made that decision. We're that kind of people. And what I have discovered over the last 13 years as an adult is I have so many stories, friends, I can't even put into words about times God has just blessed us supernaturally. Like unbelievably more than I could have asked or imagined. And I believe it's because we made that decision first. I'm a river. And often I've found, unfortunately, God's a God. He likes faith. We learned that in the last few weeks. He's a God who responds to faith. Often he asks us to give before, you know, we're in that place of it's easy. It's actually never easy, right? We never all have, oh, I just have that sitting in my budget. Like, let's go. Like, I've discovered in Eben I's life, he asks us to take the step, but then the provision comes. 2 Corinthians 9:10, Paul says to the church in Corinth, he, talking about God, who supplies seed to the sower. Pause. God will give seed if we're sowers. He doesn't say, I give seed to the collector, seed to the person who stores it. He says, I will give seed to the sower and bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Proverbs 28:27. This is unbelievable in the Bible. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing. Like, man, did you ever read scriptures? Like, is that in the Bible? Like those who give to the poor will lack nothing. But, everyone say, uh-oh, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. Once again, oh, is that in the Bible? But I love this because, friends, today if God speaks to your heart, and for those who are already sponsoring, I want to stir your faith in a good way here this morning that as you take that step, and you know what? I know right now it's a season where money might be tight or we're all feeling the pressure in this season of inflation, but I've discovered this about God again and again. If we sow in obedience, He will always provide. And not just that, the blessing of God comes on our life as we partner together. And Ebony and I have made that decision. We have made a decision to put God first in our finances. This is in every season of our life, whether a pastor, whether a teacher, whether we're 17, 18, 80. We've made a decision. We're going to put God first in our finances by bringing the tithe. You'll find me in 50 years bringing my tithe. That's our decision. Number two, you'll find me bringing offerings to God. So when it comes to vision builders or it comes to a love offering, Ebony and I have made that decision. We're a river. We're in God. What do you want us to do? And I'll be doing that in 5 years, 10 years, 30 years. We will. And lastly, Ebony and I made this decision as individuals and now as a married couple. We are always going to be generous to those who are in poverty and to consistently in our life be blessing and helping where we can in moments like this, partnering with people like Compassion. Will there be sacrifice in our life? The answer is yes. You know, if God speaks to us today, will there be some sacrifice? Of course. Will it be harder some months than others? Of course, the answer is yes. But we will all look back and see that God was providing for us and blessing us so much more than we could ever imagine as we reflect on our journey. And so in a moment, I'm excited to give us this opportunity. Like, we can't stop people. Like, even before the service, there have already been two children sponsored. I said to Tonya, I don't even need to preach today. Like, come on. But this is a supernatural moment. And what I ask us all to do in this moment is just one simple thing. Each of us, myself included, is just to look to God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? For some of us today, that will be to sponsor a child, whether you don't currently, and that will be your first time sponsoring a child. You will reflect on this day like I do with such joy in your heart. Man, it's a special moment. Secondly, maybe like Ebony and I, that you already have children, but you might just feel God say, I want you to go again for another one. Or secondly, maybe today you have a sponsored child. Your next step is just to really pray for that beautiful child God's given you, to go home and write that letter, to include your children like my mum did with me, to write letters and to pray for them. And lastly, I think a next step for all of us we could do is to pray for the ones you sponsor and for the 300 our church sponsors. Let's pray for them. But before...